Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Dependent Growth by Petr Pavlinec is an academic study of how the automotive industry in East Central Europe changed after state socialism, especially during the 1990s and 2000s. After, the book belongs to economic geography, development studies, and industrial restructuring, with a strong focus on foreign direct investment, multinational corporations, and state policy. Pavlinec examines why countries such as those in the East Central European region became major automotive production sites and why this growth, despite creating jobs and exports, remains structurally dependent on foreign ownership and decision-making. The book uses empirical research and conceptual tools from global production networks and peripheral integration to assess both the achievements and constraints of this development model. Its purpose is not simply to describe industrial expansion, but to evaluate who benefited, how domestic firms were affected, and whether foreign-led growth produced durable technological and regional upgrading. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, foreign direct investment is the main driver of post-socialist automotive expansion. A central argument of dependent growth is that the rapid rise of the automotive industry in East Central Europe was inseparable from large inflows of foreign direct investment. After 1990, the region offered multinational vehicle producers and suppliers a combination of relatively low labor costs, industrial traditions, proximity to Western European markets, and eventual integration into European Union production space. Pavlinec treats this investment not as a simple external boost, but as the mechanism through which ownership, production organization, export orientation, and supplier relations were fundamentally rebuilt. Foreign firms brought capital, technology, managerial systems, and access to global markets, allowing the region to become a major manufacturing platform. At the same time, the book emphasizes that this growth was dependent because key decisions remained largely outside host economies. The expansion increased output, employment, and exports, but it also tied local development to the strategies of multinational corporations. This distinction is crucial. The book does not deny the economic gains of FDI. Secondly, the active role of the state in attracting and shaping foreign automotive investment, Pavlinec gives significant attention to the state, challenging the idea that automotive growth in East Central Europe was driven only by market forces or corporate strategy. National and regional governments played active roles by privatizing former state enterprises, offering incentives, building infrastructure, reforming regulatory frameworks, and competing to attract vehicle assemblers and component suppliers. The book shows why governments viewed large automotive projects as especially desirable. They promised employment, export revenue, supplier development, and symbolic evidence of successful transition to a market economy. However, this competition also had costs. When states offer subsidies or policy concessions to mobile multinational firms, they may strengthen the bargaining position of foreign capital and reduce the public return on investment. The state, therefore, appears in the book as both an enabler of development and a participant in dependency. Its policies helped integrate East Central Europe into the global automotive economy, but often under conditions shaped by the requirements of foreign investors. This makes the state-foreign capital relationship one of the book's most important analytical dimensions. Thirdly, supplier networks, domestic firms, and the uneven effects of spillovers. Another important topic is the relationship between foreign-owned automotive firms and domestic suppliers. Pavlinec examines whether foreign direct investment created meaningful linkages with local companies or whether multinational subsidiaries remained weakly embedded in host economies. Supplier networks matter because they determine how much value is retained locally and whether domestic firms gain access to improved standards, technologies, and organizational practices. In the automotive industry, assemblers often require suppliers to meet strict quality, timing, logistics, and cost requirements. This can pressure domestic firms to upgrade, but it can also exclude firms that lack capital, scale, or technical capacity. The book, therefore, treats spillovers as conditional rather than automatic. Benefits depend on the structure of production, the role assigned to local plants, the sourcing strategies of led firms, and the ability of domestic companies to enter higher-value supplier tiers. Pavlinec's analysis is valuable because it avoids a simplistic view of FDI as either beneficial or harmful. It instead asks how linkages are formed, who participates in them, and what kinds of capabilities are actually transferred. Fourthly, industrial upgrading constrained by limited research, development, and strategic functions, dependent growth pays close attention to upgrading, but it distinguishes between different kinds of upgrading. East Central Europe clearly experienced production upgrading new factories, improved processes, rising productivity, and integration into sophisticated automotive supply chains. Yet Pavlinec is cautious about equating this with full technological or strategic upgrading. Many foreign-owned plants in peripheral production regions perform manufacturing and selected engineering tasks, while major decisions about product development, platform strategy, purchasing, finance, and research often remain in corporate headquarters or established core regions. This division of labor limits the long-term developmental effects of automotive investment. A country may produce large numbers of vehicles and components without controlling the most profitable or knowledge-intensive parts of the value chain. The book's concept of dependent growth captures this tension. Growth is real, but the capacity to direct it is constrained. This topic is especially important because it questions common measures of industrial success. Output, exports, and employment can rise, while domestic technological autonomy remains limited and strategic control stays external. Lastly, the 2008-2009 crisis as a test of foreign-led automotive development. The book also considers the impact of the 2008-2009 economic crisis on the automotive industry in East Central Europe. This crisis is analytically important because it exposed the vulnerabilities of a production model heavily dependent on export markets, foreign-owned firms, and decisions made within multinational production networks. When demand contracted in core markets, production sites in peripheral locations faced uncertainty over output levels, employment, and future investment. At the same time, the crisis did not affect all plants or countries in the same way, because outcomes depended on product specialization, corporate strategy, state responses, and each site's position within broader production networks. Pavlinec uses this period to show that integration into global automotive systems can provide growth opportunities during expansion, but it can also transmit external shocks quickly. The crisis, therefore, reinforces the book's broader argument East Central Europe was not simply an independent success story of industrial revival. It was a region whose growth was deeply connected to, and partly subordinated to, wider corporate and market dynamics beyond its control. In conclusion, dependent growth is most useful for readers interested in economic geography, industrial policy, post-socialist transformation, automotive production, and the political economy of foreign direct investment. It will be especially valuable to scholars, graduate students, policymakers, and industry analysts who want a detailed account of how East Central Europe became a major automotive production region and why that achievement remains structurally ambiguous. The practical benefit of the book lies in its careful treatment of policy trade-offs. It shows that attracting multinational investment can generate employment, exports, infrastructure improvements, and supplier opportunities, but these benefits do not automatically produce domestic control, strong innovation systems, or broad technological upgrading. Intellectually, the book stands out because it combines empirical industry analysis with a critical framework that avoids both celebration and dismissal of foreign-led growth. Compared with more general books on globalization or transition economies, Pavlinec's study is more sector-specific, geographically grounded, and attentive to production networks. Its distinctive contribution is the conceptually precise explanation of dependency within apparent industrial success. The book helps readers understand why a region can become central to manufacturing while remaining peripheral in ownership, strategic decision-making, and high-level innovation. If you would like to support Peter Pavlinec, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.